Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Margie Sherman. I'm here today on behalf of Old Republic Surety Company and Western Surety Company, the requesters of Senate Bill 793. And with me is Mr. Chuck Ferber from the National Notary Association. Senate Bill 793 is a reinstatement of the bond requirement for notaries public. The bond was on the statutes since 1854. It was repealed in 1983, along with the oath. We believe that the public should be protected by mistakes or willful negligence on behalf of notaries. I have given you copies of several documents. I won't go through my complete testimony. Seven other states have now instituted the $10,000 bond requirement. Those include Washington, California, Idaho, and Nevada. The Model Notary Act has within its requirements the $10,000 bond and has been endorsed by the National Association of Secretaries of State. In your packet is an article from the Oregonian, which relays a case where a son forged signatures on a second mortgage and tried to sell his father's house out from under him. Luckily, the title company secretary caught the discrepancy and the gentleman was saved from losing his home. Acts of forgery are typically the most misrepresentation of person is the most likely problem with notaries. I have put in your packet information of claims from other states. We can't document to you how many claims would have been filed in the last 4 years because obviously there haven't been. We haven't had a bond. Prior to that time, the bond was $500, and consumers and particularly attorneys were not willing to go to the time and effort and expense to file a claim on such a nominal amount. Oregon has always prided itself on consumer legislation, and this is another piece of it. And I appreciate your support. I'd like to turn this over to Mr. Ferber so he can get back on an airplane to California. Thank you.
Yes, and I appreciate your courtesy very much. My name again is Chuck Ferber. I'm the Vice President of the National Notary Association, and I would indeed like to speak in favor of Senate Bill 793. First, let me say that the National Notary Association is a nonprofit educational organization dedicated to teaching the nation's nearly 4 million notaries how to properly perform their duties. We put on seminars, we publish reference books in the legal field, and we also publish a magazine. We're located in Woodland Hills, California. We view Senate Bill 793 as important consumer protection legislation. I'd like to point out that the bill is not insurance for notaries, as I've heard at least one person say. It's insurance for the public against the negligence or mistake or misconduct of notaries. Now, I say it's not insurance for notaries because the notary must repay the surety company for any bond funds expended to a victimized member of the public on the notary's behalf. We feel a notary bond is an important requirement because all too often, innocent citizens who are financially victimized by a notary's negligence or even honest error cannot recover their losses from the notary, who may have no substantial personal assets. Many notaries, you'll find, are just a few years out of high school. The bond, we feel, is particularly important at this time because frauds involving notarized trust deeds seem to be proliferating across the United States. And as a result of these frauds, victimized homeowners find themselves having to spend sometimes thousands of dollars to clear the title on their property so they can borrow against the property or sell the property. A notary bond would be one readily attachable sum of money that could be used to apply to these legal fees in clearing the title. About 3/4 of the United States now require a notary bond, and the trend in recent years seems to be to establish a $10,000 bond, as Washington, Nevada, Idaho, and California have indeed done in recent years. Now, I've heard concerns that the enactment of a notary bond here in Oregon would result in diminished numbers of notaries who would be available to serve the public. This hasn't exactly been the case in other states. 8 of the 10 states who have raised their bonds over the past 5 years saw no decrease in the number of notaries. And one, in fact, Minnesota, saw a jump of 30,000 in the number of notaries over the past 5 years. Another, Nevada, saw a jump of 5,000. Now, the National Notary Association is interested in this legislation because we seek to standardize and to professionalize the conduct of notaries, and to in general, just make them more accountable for what they do. Talking about standardization, as a matter of fact, we have authored something called the Model Notary Act, which legislators across the country are using in drafting statutes affecting notaries. And the Model Notary Act indeed proposes a $10,000 bond. So that, in essence, is what I have to say about 793.
All right. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Hill.
In the states that have moved toward the $10,000 bond, are they charging more to get something notarized?
I'm going to defer to Margie in answering that question.
I have in your packet a comparison of state notary provisions, and it has the fee that is charged. Michigan, for instance, has a $10,000 requirement. They charge $3. Oregon charges $20, and we have no bond. So I don't see that as based on the fee that you apply for. The bond itself typically does not cost more if you are paying for a $500 bond versus a $10,000 bond. We've been quoted an average figure of about $40, which would be $10 a year for the notary.
Senator, do you mean the fees for the Notarial Act itself?
No, I mean, yes. I mean, if I would come to you and ask you to notarize something for me, yes, would you charge me? Would they charge me more? Are they charging more in the states that require this bond?
I can't exactly correlate them, but in general, as the years advance, the fees for Notarial Act slowly advance too. The maximum fee charged in any state, and that state is California, for notarization is $5, and it goes down from there. So there has been, in no state, to my knowledge, an extravagant jump.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess it's just if you require a $10,000 bond, you're going to discourage the number of people who are going to be notary publics. You're going to make them more scarce. I guess that would be the effect. And, you know, and it's just sort of a supply and demand kind of thing where, in that case, you start to, as you know, maybe you say professionalize things and you would seem to be in a position then to start charging for the service. And I guess I'm trying to weigh that against you've talked about protecting the public. I guess it's a question of what the public expects when something is notarized. But you've answered my question. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Senator Hamby.
Point of trivia. Tell me, what on earth has happened in South Carolina and Oklahoma to cause 42 notaries per 1,000 population versus other states that only have 5 per 1,000 population? Just for fun. I'm sorry. I hate to take committee's time. But
well,
if there's such a disparity, I couldn't believe
it. In South Carolina, notaries can perform marriages, so that might have something to do with it.
Super. Thank you.
Money.
That's a good one to remember. Thank you.
They can't in Oklahoma, though.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Wires.
I'm sorry to slow things up here, but this article is fascinating from the Oregonian.
It is.
Margie Sherman probably knows, but you may not, that this committee is where the changes were really percolated on the notary fee in 83. And the thing that I can't get out of this article is the fact that a notary did this the main problem, would have given it something to recover against. But the story about the woman who sold the house and so on, I guess then the people who had to move out would have had a little fund of money, to $10,000 to recover against for the money they'd lost. If the woman who found out they were out of town and sold their house out from under them was a notary and notarized her own signature. But if she'd just gone and forged the signature in front of somebody at a bank who didn't know any different. Anyway, I don't take a lot of time to committee. I'm really interested in this. I'm sure we'll follow.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Cohen.
For the record, understand the cost for a bond approximately. $10,000 bond, did you say, is $40 for?
For 4 years.
For 4 years.
That's the rate that has been quoted us by several companies.
Probably become 200 in 10 minutes.
All right. Any other questions? All right, thanks. Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you.
Now, I may come back to, I'm going to close the public hearing right now on Senate Bill 793. The proponents, who signed up at least, have testified. The opponents who are signed up will be given their chance, but I want to go back to Senate Bill 154 now, because I want to hear from two out-of-town witnesses. So, Ruth Shepherd, you want to come up on Senate Bill 154? And we'll take... go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ruth Shepherd. I represent United Seniors of Oregon today in the testimony which supports Senate Bill 154. You have testimony in front of you. I think you could write the argument. It's fairly simplistic. We support the concept because it does identify a real problem that's existed for years and it's getting worse, and that is the mounting number of older people who need support from the volunteer side and the anxieties that volunteers have. As I heard this afternoon said several times, the Good Samaritan ought to be protected, and that's at the heart of our effort in supporting this bill. There's evidence in other committees of the legislature and in recent legislative action in the last several sessions, a state policy is in fact developing and can be identified, which says whatever you can do legally that can find low-cost or no-cost ways to encourage older peoples to be independent and make it on their own without general fund support is good state policy. And we see enactment of this bill as another reinforcing extension of that state policy so that the anxieties of volunteers could be relaxed and we could recruit them into support groups for older people who need their assistance. Typical of the assistance is walking with and helping ambulate the frail who need limited but regular exercise, the delivery of meals, transportation to and from medical appointments and for shopping, and pushing wheelchairs. You have the rest of my testimony. We did not introduce or request this bill, as you can see.
Okay, any questions of Ms. Shepherd? All right, see now. Senator Hill, you know all of the deputy district attorneys in Marion County, don't you?
Not all of them, Mr. Chairman.
Have you ever met this witness's son who's in the Pete Shepherd is a prosecuting attorney in Marion County. That's all right. I thank Ruth for having him come up and help me out my first session in the legislature. He took a demotion when he left my employ and went to work for the Marion County DA's office, but that's all right. Appreciate it anyway.
Thank you for your many kindnesses, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Sheriff Brooks, come on up.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, senators, I am representing at this point the Oregon State Sheriff's Association in support of Senate Bill 154, if it can be amended to include the terminology any public body in the state of Oregon. The reason for this is that most sheriffs have a large number of volunteers in public safety, such as reservists. Also, they have cadet programs and explorers programs. Today we've talked earlier about Senate Bill 915, which is essentially search and rescue. Sheriffs in Oregon are the directors of search and rescue within their counties. They have a large number of people that are volunteers working in search and rescue. As they represent the agency, agencies are already bound by law to defend volunteers representing their agencies. I think Section 2, what really is the essential part, is that the volunteers are immune from personal liability in the connection with the performance of the assignments. That is, the assignments that would be within the scope and duty of their authority. I would like to speak just briefly to Clackamas County and tell you that I have 360 volunteers in search and rescue, and in addition to that, I have 155 members of the Sheriff's Reserve. Last year, they donated 42,000 hours to public safety in Clackamas County. If you got out your calculator, you'd find that this amounts to about $750,000. They do so at great personal expense in providing their own equipment and providing the time to get the training and the schooling. We do protect them whenever they're acting within the scope of their duties, but not in connection with any personal liability for punitive damages.
Mr. Wires.
There's Senator. Been a chiropractor who's come down here two or three times about his son that was shot and killed, I think, in Clackamas County a few years back, running from the scene of an alleged burglary. Wasn't that a reserve deputy that shot that?
Yes, that's true. I don't think in that case there was a claim for punitive damages.
Ban punitive damages?
Well, what we're talking about, I think, what the State Sheriff's Association would like.
That was a yes or no.
No, I think it's
right. Well, would you rephrase the question, please?
Do you only want this protection from punitive damages?
No.
Thank you.
Personal liability.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, Sheriff, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. Now on 154, we have, see if I got everybody from out of town here. I'll tell you what let's do. Sheriff Burks, no, you're just sitting here. You're not signed up, are you? Pardon? Yeah. Yeah, I thought for a minute I was reading your name on this list. You're all right. You're all right. Carry on. I tell you what let's do. We've got somebody from the Fairview Training Center, somebody from the Parks Division, somebody from the Department of General Service, and apparently two private citizens, Mr. and Mrs. Clark. Are they here? Are they here?
We're not private citizens.
You're not private citizens. Oh, you represent the city? Well, come on up anyway.
Mr. Chairman, this is the city of Salem, man.
Okay.
They're just like the ordinary Mr. and Mrs. Clark.
I'm trying to give the private citizen a break here with all these government officials.
I'll take the break.
My wife, who isn't sitting beside me, will be very, very surprised, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your courtesy. We do have an amendment that does address what the previous witness was discussing, amending the bill.
Put it on the record who you all are.
Oh, I'm sorry. Olivia Clark, I'm representing the City of Salem, and with me is Bill Blair, who's an assistant city attorney from the City of Salem. We're here to provide our support to Senate Bill 154, but also ask that it be amended to include a public body to substitute that for State of Oregon. I'd like to talk a little bit about how important volunteers are to the City of Salem and why we're interested in the bill. You'll see from the handouts that you'll be receiving in a moment that volunteers play a very important role in City of Salem. In fact, I have a breakdown of where those volunteers are in city departments, what activities they're involved in, and the hours that they donate. We would estimate that there's probably 2,500 people within the city that volunteer for a variety of different activities, anything from direct service activities to serving on volunteer boards and commissions. There's a demand for city services that we cannot meet given budget restrictions, and these individuals have volunteered their time and made a commitment to seeing that those services are provided. In exchange for that commitment, the city offers volunteers several benefits. First, we offer volunteers coverage from personal injury. There's a handout that explains, that's given to volunteers that explains those benefits. Secondly, they're covered for general liability. We also provide training to volunteers and an orientation session on those benefits that they receive. We also, in recognition of their service, publicly recognize and celebrate their contribution to the city and the community with annual events such as Good Citizen Night and annual banquets and that sort of thing. We recognize that volunteerism builds leadership, and in fact, five of our 9 city councilors were at one time neighborhood volunteers and served on city boards and commissions. Because of our intensive use of volunteers and the special training that we provide to volunteers, we have a very good record in the community. And unless you count suits that include the name of a city councilor, we have had no suits against the city based on the action of a citizen volunteer. We're very proud of that record. However, despite our best efforts in volunteer orientation and providing those kinds of benefits to volunteers, we are continually confronted by the fear that people have of their own personal risk in volunteering, the risk of a suit against them as individuals. Consequently, we're having an increasingly difficult time at recruiting people to volunteer for those activities. It's taking more effort on our part to recruit people, to keep them, and to bring in new people as volunteers. And our staff attributes that problem to the public perception that they've become increasingly vulnerable to suit.
I wonder what that public perception is based on, where it comes from, what's the genesis of it, who creates it, you know?
No, I don't know. And we haven't had any suits. And so I don't know where that's coming from. It's a very interesting question. So our interest in Senate Bill 154 really stems from that public perception. What we're looking for is just a simple way in the statute to try to allay some of those fears. And our intent is merely to exempt those volunteers from liability. And with that, if you have any questions, I have Bill Blair here to answer any technical questions that I might not be able to handle.
Yes, Senator Wires has a question.
Mr. Blair, if a volunteer now does something negligent, can it be made also against the city?
Assuming that the volunteer is an agent of the city, yes. And that's part of the training that the volunteer gets, is that if you're sued, turn the claim over to us, and we are obligated by law to indemnify and defend you if you're our agent.
Then is this amendment you're proposing to protect the volunteer or the city of Salem?
The volunteer only. It is not our intent in any means to escape liability on behalf of the city that otherwise exists now. It's purely and exclusively the personal pocketbook of the volunteer that we're trying to protect.
The way you read this amendment, it wouldn't in any way immunize the city if somebody was a volunteer for the city and they caused some injury through their negligence. The city could still be sued.
Frankly, Senator, I understand that there is a question as to whether or not that may exist. And if that is a valid question, we're more than happy to work with anybody to get whatever is necessary to amend the bill to make it clear that it applies only to the personal pocketbook of the volunteer and not the protection of the public body.
So your support for the bill would continue if we had language to make that clear?
Absolutely.
Is there
anything else?
No.
Go ahead. Well, no, go ahead.
No, I think that was basically what I wanted to ask.
I think Senator Wire's concern is going in the direction I think he's going in is well-founded, because certainly the principal's liability could rise no higher than the agent's, and if the agent's got immunity except for a certain grade of negligence, for example, or certain intentional conduct, the city would have the same immunity.
That's what I was
thinking. Yeah, exactly. That's where the senator was going.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Clark and I discussed this earlier today, and it seems to me possible to the Department of General Services has prepared an amendment defining volunteers, which they plan to submit. And it seems to me possible that as part of that definition that we could say that volunteers are not agents for purposes of the Public Tort Claims Act and solve that problem. So we would be explicitly protecting the personal liability of the volunteer, but not taking away the liability of the public body. If that particular method doesn't work, I think there are methods to do what Senator Wires wants to do.
Mr. Chairman, I think that Mr. Blair and I would be more than happy to work with committee counsel to try to come up with some solution to that that's appropriate.
That would make Sheriff Brooks happy, too. Or less unhappy with me for asking to answer yes or no. Could I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
What we're talking about, Sheriff Brooks, is that whether or not this shield of liability would be just to the volunteer or if it would be also to the public body that they were volunteering for. And what the City of Salem is saying is they would expect the exposure of the government to continue as it is now, but it would only be the volunteer that would be told that you can't be, if you get sued, we'll defend you, but you won't have to dig the money out of your own pocket. That's okay with you, too.
Well,
seems a lot better to me.
Well, yes.
Until somebody tells me something else.
It's better, all right. But you know, here we are. We're going through this rash of legislative bills that are attempting to immunize people from acts of carelessness. We got along all these decades. Once in a while, the legislature said, "Well, if you're a physician and you stop at an accident on the road and you render." First aid, why they shouldn't be able to turn around and see you just because you didn't exercise your best judgment. So we'll call it the Good Samaritan Law, and we will immunize physicians for acts of ordinary negligence. And I think that that's understandable and acceptable. And then last session we said, well, if somebody wants to volunteer to take elderly citizens or handicapped citizens around in a van, why we're not going to make them liable in situations for acts of ordinary negligence. And that was all right, too, because apparently the cost of insurance otherwise was going to be so high. But you know, now we're dealing with bills that don't just deal with the difference between ordinary negligence and other degrees of fault, but just say, in effect, you know, there's not going to be any liability here. If you fall in this particular category, you won't be liable under Oregon law. And that's where I'm starting to get a little bit concerned.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, what the bill specifically provides is that volunteers acting within the scope of their assignment would be immune from personal liability unless the claim arises from injury caused in a willful, wanton, or malicious manner.
Yes, I understand.
So that the bill does not immunize volunteers from essentially intentional acts or gross negligence.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So that certainly could be added as one of the things that it doesn't immunize them from.
Yeah, right. But I mean, that's what we're looking at in some of these. Anyway, any other?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. No, yes. I just think, you know, along with your same line, I've got some work on nonprofits that ought to be added.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I'd like to add nonprofits also. Sir.
Yeah.
I'd like to add lawyers. law practices with fewer than 5 associates.
Okay. Any questions?
I was thinking that right. Mr. Kester could do that.
Yeah, he could do it easily.
And I'd hire Steve Cafori.
Can I just add one point, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go
it was
right
interesting
ahead.
To hear Ruth Shepherd, because some of the people that I talked to in putting together testimony on this bill are people that volunteer at the Salem Senior Center. We have about 600 senior volunteers. I had not heard the issue approached from her perspective, which I had not thought of. I thought was very interesting. But it's the volunteers at the Senior Center that are also very afraid, and I don't know where that public perception comes from, and we do have a good record. So we're just trying to add something that will allay those fears.
That's right. I thought maybe somebody was going to pipe up and give me the answer to that question. I didn't hear it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. And Paul, if we had all the volunteers like Ruth Shepherd, we wouldn't have to worry about these things. Okay, gang, it's about 7 minutes after 5. You've done a lot of good work. I appreciate your patience. And unless there's something further, we're adjourned.